नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जये मुदीरे नष्टे प्रायेषु वद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Canto 7, Chapter 15, text number 8, 9, and 10. So we have here text number 9, so we'll chant that together, and I will read the translation from text number 8 and 10 as well. Eke karmam yan yajnana ज्ञानीनो यज्ञ विद्वः आत्मा संयमं मानेनियः आत्मा सममयाने अनिः जुहवति ज्ञानादीपिते एका कर्म यान ज्ञान ज्ञानीनो यज्ञ विद्मः आत्मा संयमामानेनिः जुहाति ज्ञानादीपिते अके कर्मम्यां यज्ञान ज्ञानीनो यज्ञ विद्मः आत्मा संयमानेनिः जुहति ज्ञानादीपिते। एके कर्मान्यज्ञानं ज्ञानीनो यज्ञवित्मः आत्मा संयमनेनिः जुहाति ज्ञानादीपिते एके कर्मयान्यज्ञान ज्ञानीनो यज्ञवित्मः आत्मा संयमनेनिः जुहाति ज्ञानादीपिते एके कर्ममयान्यज्ञान ज्ञानीनो यज्ञवित्मः आत्मं संयमेनिः जुहति ज्ञानदीपिते। एके कर्मयान्यज्ञान ज्ञानीनो यज्ञवित्मः आत्मा संयमनेनिः जुहति ज्ञानादीपिते एके कर्मयान्यज्ञान ज्ञानीनो यज्ञवित्मः आत्मा संयमनेनिः जुहति ज्ञानादीपिते। I'll read text number 8. It says, नेतादृश परो धर्मो नरणं सद्धर्मनम् इच्छतम् न्यासो दन्धस्या भूतेषु मनोवक् कयाजस्य यः। Persons who want to advance in superior religion are advised to give up all envy of other living entities, whether in relationship to the body, verbs, or mind. There is no religion superior to this. So we are on text number 9 now, so we can do the word-by-word translation first. Eke sam karma mayan, resulting in a reaction such as the killing of animals. Yajnan, sacrifices. Gyaninaha, persons advance in knowledge. Yajna vittamaha, who know perfectly well the purpose of sacrifice. Atma samyamane, by self-control. Anihaha, who are without material desires. Juhati, execute sacrifice. Jnana dipite, enlightened in perfect knowledge. Because of an awakening of spiritual knowledge, those who are intelligent in regard to sacrifice, who are actually aware of religious principles, and who are free from material desires, control the self in the fire of spiritual knowledge or knowledge of the absolute truth. They may give up the process of ritualistic ceremonies. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. People are generally very much interested in karmakanda ritualistic ceremonies for elevation to the higher planetary systems. But when one awakens his spiritual knowledge, he becomes uninterested in such elevation and engages himself fully in jnana-yajna to find the objective of life. The objective of life is to stop completely the miseries of birth and death and to return home, back to Godhead. When one cultivates knowledge for this purpose, he is considered to be on a higher platform than one who is engaged in karam yajna or fruitive activities. I'm reading text, translation and purport of text number 10 also. Upon seeing the person engaged in performing the sacrifice, animals meant to be sacrificed are extremely afraid, thinking this merciless performer of sacrifices, being ignorant of the purpose of sacrifice and being most satisfied by killing others, will surely kill us. Purport. Animal sacrifice in the name of religion is current practically all over the world in every established religion. It is said that Lord Jesus Christ, when 12 years old, was shocked to see the Jews sacrificing birds and animals in the synagogues, and that he therefore rejected the Jewish system of religion and started the religious system of Christianity, adhering to the Old Testament commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." At the present day, however, not only are animals killed in the name of sacrifice, but the killing of animals has increased enormously because of the increasing number of slaughterhouses. Slaughtering animals, either for religion or for food, is most abominable and is condemned herein. Unless one is merciless, one cannot sacrifice animals, either in the name of religion or for food. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutile Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchya Kalpataru Vaishya Kirpa Sindhu Bhaya Evacha Patita Nam Pamne Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we go to text number 8 first. Where The translation is, persons who want to advance in superior religion are advised to give up all envy of other living entities, whether in relationship to the body, words, or mind. There is no religion superior to this. So we can talk a little bit here about envy and why giving up the envy is so important that Narad Rishi says that there is no religion superior to this. So in one of his lectures, Srila Prabhupada says that there are six highway robbers, and they can very easily rob us of our intelligence, and we will not even get to know. So that is the smartness of a robber. So what are these six robbers? They are lust, anger, pride, envy, illusion, and madness. And I will not say to some degree, but to a great degree, all of these are present in the living entities, especially the human beings. And as we practice Krishna consciousness and try to get rid of our anarthas, slowly these things, they melt and they go away from us. But envy and false ego, they are very hard to get rid of. So what do we understand by enemy? So for the purpose of our discussion this morning, I have taken some information from Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, and of course Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's lectures. So in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami defines envy as when one becomes malicious upon seeing another's advancement of life, his state of mind is called envy. So this is a very clear indication that when we sometimes see the progress of others, we don't take it very kindly. We are kind of agitated, we are upset, and that process or that reaction is called envy. Then very interestingly, when we see somebody else being praised, that also is a very great cause of envy. That, oh, he is getting all the praise and why I am being totally ignored. So there are different kind of situations, and practically we see these situations so often in our life that we don't even know that it is happening. We are so much used to it that it is an automatic process that generates within our thought process. So what is the origin of envy? Why we are, or human beings are, envious? So our scriptures say that either consciously or unconsciously, we sometimes ask, why Krishna is God? Why I am not God? And we want to take that position ourselves. So our envy of Krishna is the origin of all other envies. Now, we say that we are devotees of Krishna, and why should we be envious of him? But the reason that we are here in this material world is because we are envious of Krishna. And how does that envy manifest is that we wanted to enjoy independent of Krishna. And then Krishna says, okay, if you want to do that, Krishna has given us free will, and he also fulfills our desires. So Krishna says, okay, in that case, if you want to enjoy independent of me, you can go and do that. And that's why we are here. Now, we may call it enjoyment or we may call it suffering, but the result is that because of our thought, we are here in this material world. So, when we overcome this thought that we have to enjoy independent of Krishna, or we want to enjoy independent of Krishna, then the envy ends. And but it is easy to say that But in practice, it's not all that simple. How can we actually get rid of envy? It is just by surrendering to Krishna. Once we surrender to Krishna wholeheartedly and fully, that is the end of all the enemies. Now, this process of envy in the material world is not something which we don't know. We engage ourselves in very competitive activities, in unnecessary competitive activities number of times. We saw our young children, they are being encouraged to be so competitive. So all that is the result of envy. Another form in which we can see envy is that we take pleasure in misfortune of others. Now again, this is a very, very sadistic, you know, process, sadistic attitude, but it happens. You know, if sometimes we see that there is some difficult situation or some loss or similar things happening to our neighbors or somebody whom we know, somewhere down in our heart we are, you know, happy. Sometimes we may feel that we are we are happy that it has not happened to us. So that is also to some extent responsible for that thought, but in some form or the other that feeling comes. So Srila Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction that there is no room for envy or jealousy in Krishna consciousness. So in Nectar of Devotion and also Nectar of Instruction, a devotee is kind of addressed as Nirmat Sarvanam Satam. So Satam is a devotee, and Nirmat Sarvanam means completely free from envy. So any person, any living entity or any human being who is completely free of envy is a devotee of the Lord. So Prabhupada says that as soon as anyone becomes envious, he is sure to fall down. So it is that dangerous to have this particular attribute. So further it is said in our scriptures that religious practice is meant to encourage a heart free of envy. And a person free from envy has no false ego. He is motivated only by the desire to please Krishna. So here Prabhupada says that there is, in the translation it is said, there is no religion superior to this. So when I was preparing for this discussion, I meditated on this particular, you know, sentence, and then I was thinking that why, when Narada Rishi is talking to Yudhishthir, is saying this. So then I felt that what is the supreme, you know, supreme most or supreme religion? What is the goal of all the activities, all the bhakti, all devotional activities we engage in? It is to please Krishna. So that is the superior and the superior religion, or that is the ultimate goal of all the activities in which a devotee engages. So the ultimate goal is to please Krishna, and by being non-envious, and as I said earlier, that if first of all we have to develop that feeling of love for Krishna. We don't have to be envious towards Krishna, but we have to develop the feelings of love toward Krishna. And if we are successful in doing that, automatically we are at a higher platform. Then we are successful in our devotional service. So in that respect, getting rid of envy is the supreme religion. So that is that was text number 8. Now in text number 9, the translation I'll read out one more time. Because of an awakening of spiritual knowledge, those who are intelligent in regard to sacrifice, who are actually aware of religious principles, and who are free from material desires, control the self in the fire of spiritual knowledge or knowledge of the absolute truth. They may give up the process of ritualistic ceremonies. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that people are generally very much interested in karma kanda ritualistic ceremonies for elevation to the higher planetary systems. But when one awakens his spiritual knowledge, he becomes uninterested in such elevation and engages himself fully in Jnana Yajna to find the objective of life. So, here in the next two verses, verse number 9 and verse number 10, we can talk about the ritualistic ceremonies vis-a-vis Mahamantra, chanting the Mahamantra. So here we have a very nice example of Prithu Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam, I think fourth canto, there is we read about Prithu Maharaj. He had conquered the earth and he wanted to do Ashwamedha Yajna. And he wanted to do 100 Ashwamedha Yajna. And until then, it was only Indra who had done such a yajna, such a sacrifice. So when Maharaj Prithu, under the instructions of his spiritual master Atri, or the Rishi Atri, he was performing this yajna. When he was to do the sacrifice for the 100th time, or the 100th horse, Indra was really very much troubled. And we hear this so often, that people, when they engage in austerities and they are, very sincerely and severely praying to the Lord, it is Indra who gets very much disturbed. So Indra did not want. Here again, we can see two aspects of these highway robbers we were talking about in the beginning. Why was Indra disturbed? Because of pride, that so far he was the only one who had performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, and because of envy, that once Maharaj Prithu also is able to complete his 100th Yajna, he will be able to rule this planet. So he came dressed as a sannyasi, and he stole the horse. He thought that nobody will be able to notice, and the yajna will be incomplete, and so his motive will be fulfilled, that he that Prithu Maharaj couldn't complete the 100th sacrifice. So Rishi Atri, he observed it, and he asked son of Maharaj Prithu to chase Indra and kill him. So he, when he challenged Indra, Indra was so scared, a thief is always scared, he ran away. And being a Kshatriya, the son of Maharaj Prithu, he did not want to attack or kill Indra from the back. So he let him go, but he got the horse back. And then again, they continued with the ceremony, with the ritual. And again, Indra was so obsessed with his thoughts that he again came, and again he tried to steal the horse. And again he was caught, and he again ran away, but the horse was protected. Then the Brahmanas, who were engaged in the yajna, the sacrifice, they told Maharaj Prithu that by these activities of his, Indra has lost his powers. So by chanting the proper mantras, they will be able to get the Indra and they will be able to sacrifice Indra in the fire. So they were so powerful. And when this happened, then they started chanting the mantra, and it was a very, very sensitive situation because Indra will be offered, you know, and be in this fire sacrifice. So Lord Brahma appeared. And Lord Brahma then told Maharaj Prithu and the Brahmanas who were engaged in the sacrifice that this is not allowed. Indra is the king of heavens and all the demigods, he is the king of demigods, and all the demigods look towards him, and it is not allowed to offer him in the sacrifice. So he tried to, you know, create a reconciliation between Indra and Maharaj Prithu. So at the same time, Brahma also did not encourage Maharaj Prithu to complete the 100th sacrifice. So, and what he said to Maharaj Prithu is very, very important, and that will give us the reason, you know, that summarizes what Narada Rishi is saying here to Maharaj Yudhishthir. So he says that let there be only 99 yajnas. Lord Brahma told Maharaj Prithu, since he was thoroughly aware of the path of liberation, what was the use of performing more sacrifices? So this is the interesting part, and this is what we are reading here in these verses. That if one knows what is the true purpose of sacrifice, then one actually doesn't have to do sacrifice. Because he knows the actual purpose, and in Kali Yuga especially, we can get the benefit just by chanting the holy name of the Lord. So the Sankirtan Yajna, which has been given to us by Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada, it is the ultimate Yajna in Kali Yuga. We don't have to perform any sacrifices. We don't have to perform any ritualistic activities if we are engaging ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that very clearly explains the situation of Karam Kandis and even Gyan Kand, the people who engaged in Gyan Kand. So ultimately, the goal is Bhakti Yoga. We have to engage, we have to reach that platform, and where the other systems end, Bhakti begins. So people who are engaging themselves in ritualistic activities or various Karam Kand activities, when they are reaching their the ultimate, you know, goal or ultimate aim, that's where they will be starting Bhakti. So we have been so fortunate that by being in association of devotees, by getting instructions from our superior acharyas and Vaishnavas, we are actually already somewhere in that creeper of Bhakti. Maybe at the beginning, some maybe at a higher stage, but we are already in that process. So we don't have to really you know, devote our energies for ritualistic activities. Then in text number 10, here Narada Rishi is talking about the thoughts of the animals which are being sacrificed. And it says here that the animals meant to be sacrificed are extremely afraid, thinking that this merciless performer of sacrifices, being ignorant of the purpose of sacrifice and being most satisfied by killing others, will surely kill us. So again, here in today's environment, most of the people are not even aware of why they have to conduct, why they are engaging themselves in ritualistic activities or some kind of sacrifice. So without being aware of that, if one is performing anything, it is of no use. Even in devotional service, the activities which we are performing consciously for pleasure of Krishna, that only will count for bhakti. Sometimes we may do activities unconsciously, but they are pleasing to Krishna. They are good, they are nice, but they will not come at the same platform as bhakti. Though activities which we know, again I'm repeating myself to clarify my point, that the activities which we are doing for pleasure of Krishna, we may not be sometimes able to do them properly, but because the intentions with which we started, the intentions with which we are doing them, they will be accepted by Krishna as bhakti. So there are several stories in Srimad Bhagavatam about, to highlight this point, that number of times people are engaging themselves in different kind of activities without really knowing the purpose of those activities. So they are just creating imbalance, they are creating difficulties for other living entities without really achieving any benefits, or without their own benefit or benefit of others. And here again, you know, there is a story of King Prachina Bharistat, father of Prachitas. So there also our dear Nara Rishi is very, very merciful, as we know, and a compassionate person. So he saw that this king was engaged in sacrificing animals just for his own, you know, happiness and satisfaction. So he appears in his assembly and then instructs him. I mean, he doesn't give him direct instructions. He tells him the story, another story, in which a particular king is engaged in killing animals, and then what is the fate of that animal, the fate of that king. So it was mentioned that what happens to the animals who are sacrificed? They get their next life as human being, provided the sacrifices have been done in a bona fide way by chanting the bona fide mantras. So a number of times it can happen that if the mantras are not chanted properly, or the rituals are not done in a bona fide way, then the animals which have been sacrificed, they do not get the human body. So they are just waiting for the person who was responsible for their killing to die. And then they are waiting to punish him. So Nara Rishi was actually able to show that to him. And that was a kind of moment of awakening for the king of Prachetas, the father of Prachetas, and then he realized that he himself was engaging in such activities, and he then slowly got he was detached then slowly. He no more wanted to then continue in as king. He wanted to leave and give his kingdom to his sons, and then wanted to go and, you know, spend rest of his life thinking of the Lord and engaging in more meaningful activities than just killing the animals. So, as we know, the real purpose here in Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in Bhagavad Gita, we hear the purpose of these sacrifices is has been to please Krishna in different yugas. And in Kali Yuga, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Sankirtan Yajna is the ultimate, and we should, together with other devotees and Vaishnavas, engage ourselves in Sankirtan Yajna and not waste our resources and energy in other ritualistic activities. So I'd like to stop here and invite discussion and comments.
I think we discussed this before, but in terms of the instruction that is given in the verses and the purpose of the Shraddha ceremony, that one should not, is encouraged to do it too lavishly, that rather, you know, you feed just few people. When we do it sort of in ISKCON, we sponsor a feast, you know, and feed many devotees like that. So isn't that a discrepancy on that instruction?
So when I was reading about the Shraddha ceremony in the previous chapter, it says that Shraddha ceremony should be simple. And what we need to do is to offer Krishna's Mahaprasadam to the forefathers. So that is the real, you know, that will really bring them some benefit if we offer Krishna's Mahaprasadam to our forefathers. And the other thing which is prescribed in ISKCON Book of Sanskaras is that any ceremony, any ritual in which, if we have to engage in, should begin with chanting the holy name of the Lord and should be followed also by a kirtan. So the emphasis is more on Sankirtan. The other activities you can only say notional, but the main focus is on kirtan and chanting the holy name of the Lord. So that is what ISKCON's position is on this. Prabhupada says that we don't have to completely give it up, but we shouldn't really be investing too much of efforts in any of these ritualistic activities. Any other thoughts? Okay, so if there are no other comments or questions, then thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.